In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We all know that as Christians, our goal is to be Christ-like, to follow His example, to be like Him, and to do things the way He does them. So one of the most important things about the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ is that it was built on discipleship. Because we know that the most important thing is our Lord has His disciples, He called them, they came, they served with Him, and when they served with Him, they then had their own disciples, and it started cascading down. So we have our Lord presenting His message to His disciples and them to theirs and so on and so forth until today. You and I receive our messages not only from the scriptures and the writings of the fathers, but from a rich tradition that is handed down through generations. And that all started because of them being called. So they didn't just come randomly. With the disciples, with each and every one of them, our Lord called them and said, "Follow me." So of course, we can look at that as a historic phenomenon that happened 2,000 years ago, and it was just for the disciples because they were really special people and they served with our Lord and they were instrumental. Great, fine. But actually, no, that's not true. There is nothing more special about the calling of the disciples than the calling you have received. Because we've all received the calling, each and every one of us, to different things. My calling was to monasticism and then to the episcopate. The fathers were called to priesthood. You, at this stage of your lives, have been called to serve. And it's really important to understand that. We sometimes worry about these words. We shy away from them. Calling is such a big thing, because if I feel called, then I'm going to have to go either live in the desert or become a priest or become a nun or become a deacon or deaconess. We're all called. First and foremost, we are called to be true children of God in the way we do everything. So if we look at the Gospel of St. John chapter 1 verse 42, we read, "Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, 'You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be Cephas,' which is translated stone. I'm not only calling you, I'm changing you. I am changing you and I am making you fit for purpose." Have you heard that expression, fit for purpose? You know what it means? It means when you have something, an item, an object. So this is a cross, right? It's for blessing. It's fit for purpose. If you're going to use a certain tool for a certain process, it's fit for purpose. You are fit for purpose. And that purpose is ministry. Now again, we have to differentiate between words and their implications. Because when I say you're fit for ministry, now, you might think the word ministry is really big. Ministry is what priests do. But no, actually, to minister the words of God are the role of each and every one of us in our capacities. As a Sunday school servant, as a youth servant, as a teacher in the church, as someone who leads Bible studies, as someone who leads fellowship groups, as someone who leads Christian education, that's all ministry. Even sports ministries. So in the UK, we have quite an extensive sports ministry. I have a really tough life because weekend after next, I have to go and oversee a basketball tournament. It's unbelievable. I don't know how I do it. But you know, it's really important because what happens is we have about 200 young people coming over for the weekend. We have somewhere where we can host them. They'll come, they'll play basketball for the whole day. We'll have Vespers in the evening. They'll attend Bible study, liturgy the following morning. Spend the day in great fellowship. It's a ministry. It's ministering the word of God to them. In September, it'll be football tournament, and so on and so forth. We have other ministries. We have arts ministries, cultural ministries. We have the conventional Christian education. We have meetings like this. You've been called to all of that. Our problem, however, is when we feel that sometimes one thing could go in and then damage all of that. You know what that is? Pride and arrogance. There's one distinction I like to make to people, and those of you who speak Arabic will understand it more than others. There's a distinction in Arabic between khadim and khaddam, right? A khadim is your servant. It's what we use now as servant. And khaddam is almost your domestic servant. It's your housekeeper, your cleaner, right? We have turned the word khadim or servant into a place of honor, whereas actually it is a place of ministry, of service to others. I always tell people when I'm speaking, I said, you know, basically, when we're serving in Sunday school, we are glorified nannies. We are looking after our master's kids. You know, he gives me the allowance, he entrusts me, he lets me serve them. They're his children, not mine. So I need to be careful and caring and conscientious, but I can't be possessive because they're his children. I have to go with his agenda, not mine. That's why sometimes we get a little bit confused. We become possessive over the ministry. We become possessive over children. We start to lead them in our own ways and guide them in our own ways and forget, hang on, wait a minute, they're actually not mine. And I need to remind myself of this. If I become possessive over a ministry or over children, I say, actually, I'm the nanny. I'm fulfilling my master's requirements, his agenda, his desire for his children. And I'm serving according to his will. Now, it's not as straightforward as that, because sometimes you think, okay, so am I going to be like Peter and James and John standing by the seashore and cleaning our nets, and then suddenly, whether I'm a fisherman or a tax collector or doing anything else, the Lord is going to say, drop that and come and follow me. Sometimes it develops. So again, if we look at the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, we read, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Right? It's a progressive thing. Peter, I'm going to take you. I'm going to change your name. I'm going to make you a foundation of the church, as I am with your brothers, the other disciples. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to build on you. But actually, what this is about, it's about the kingdom. What we've got to realize is our ministry here on earth is only a means to an end. You know, I'm not in the process of running basketball tournaments or arts festivals or even classes like this just to educate. That's not what we're here for. This is all a means to an end. What is our end? It's the kingdom of God. For ourselves and for those we serve. Keep that in mind. We're not about building popularity here. I'm not running for president. You've got one of those already. Not touching that one right now. Especially here. So you know, I'm not running a popularity contest. I don't just want to be popular. I don't even just want to run a really good class that gives you lots of information. That's what you go to universities for. That's about education and vocation. This is about God's kingdom. This is about getting myself and you into his kingdom. And myself first. So this is one of the very few times I'm going to say to you, not to be selfish, but to look at yourself first. Because if you're not going to get into the kingdom, you're not going to get anybody else in there. And if you get everybody else in there, but you don't, then you've lost. So don't ever serve just to give information. That's why I was always brought up in Sunday school that we never ever call the people serving us teachers. They're never Sunday school teachers. Sunday school servants. Right? Because the word teacher is just someone who imparts knowledge. Whereas a servant is someone who is an example. We're not here to just to give facts. People can get facts from anywhere. So if I look at the days when I grew up in Australia and I was a Sunday school student. I attended and I had my servants and I was attending servants prep classes like this and I was served by people who were wonderful and who taught me things I still live by today. And when I still go back to Sydney, you know, once a year, I still see them and I remember what an incredible impression they made on my life. You know what? I can't remember anything they taught me in terms of facts, although I'm sure there were many, many important ones. What I can remember is the lives they lived and the example they gave. What I can remember is the practical lessons. The fact that they were living scripture. The fact that I could see them and understand what it meant to love and be loved. I understood what it meant to be dedicated and committed. I understood what it meant to receive a gift and then use it and give it to others. Because the gifts we receive are not ours. See again, God doesn't give us gifts to store away. And we know that very well from the parable of the stewards. The steward who took one talent and said, you know what, my boss is really tough. My master is very demanding. I'm going to take this talent and just so I don't waste it, I'm going to dig a hole. I'm going to keep it here for safekeeping. And when he comes back, I'm going to give it to him. Our talents are not just for us. We are called to share them. You know, if you use the example of a mirror. A mirror cannot receive light and say, you know what, I'm going to keep that for myself. I like that because what I'm going to do is that light shining at me, I'm going to absorb it and keep it. The function of the mirror is one thing and one thing alone. That is to reflect that light into the world. And that is what you are called to do as servants. You are mirrors. You are called to reflect that light into the world. You can't just keep it. Your nature doesn't allow for that. And if you do, it's selfish. It's not the right thing to do. Because that light is enough for me and for the whole world. And if I reflect it, then this is what our Lord wants me to be. He says to us, you are the light of the world. And even further, he says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You need to be those cities on hills. You are called to that. You are called to be light. And again, let's make a distinction between doing what we need to do and feeling arrogance about it. You know, the fact that a mirror is not the mirror's doing, it's just how it was created. What the mirror needs to do is be kept clean. So the only thing I can take credit for is keeping myself clean so I reflect the light of God into the world. That's all I can do. But I am created as I am. Who of you by worrying can add anything to his or her height? That's what our Lord says to us. But the very hairs on your head are numbered. He knows you, and he knows what he wants to call each and every one of you to do. You see, for us it's a revelation. For God it's just knowledge. He already knows. He knows what he wants you to do. The Epistle to the Romans, chapter 11, verse 29. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. You are not going to be called to ministry and then God says, actually, no, change my mind, sorry, we're redeploying. Go back to head office and I'm going to send somebody else out. That's not the way God works. He gives us gifts. He gives us a calling. He sends us. And he does not revoke that. He may change it. So, you know, if I think, even in my own life, through the course of my life, I was a Sunday school servant, and then I became a youth servant, and then I became a monk, and then I became a monk priest, and I'm a bishop. Now, they're all different ways of serving. There isn't one that's better than the other. They're just different. They are specific to the stage of life I am at. And it's a journey. And you will serve in numerous ways. The fact that you're doing servants prep now and that you're going to go into a class or a service or a ministry of any sort doesn't mean that's where you're going to stay forever. Because you also will change. Your life will change. Your life situation will change. Your time will change. Your priorities will change. Your character will change. But as you do, your calling will also continue adapting. Because God wants us to continue to receive the blessing. St. Paul puts it very, very well, that we are fellow workers. And you know what? God benefits nothing from us. We're a liability. We are. We're an absolute liability. We get things wrong. We make mistakes. We mess things up. We take things like they're ours. We mislead people. We make, you know, all of that stuff. But the blessing we receive is what makes being a fellow worker so important. So he wants us to continue to receive blessings. You know, imagine a father who's doing something, you know, making a table. And he says to his son, you know, why don't you come and help me? Here it is. Here's a little hammer, a little plastic hammer. Why don't you help me knock this nail into this table? Doing absolutely nothing. Or doing as much as he can. But it's actually his father's hand on his, knocking it in, that makes it actually work. It's his grace, it's his power, it's his gift. And as this child grows, he becomes more competent, more able, more skilled. But all of that he receives from his father. Likewise with us, we receive from our Father. He gives us, and he gives us in abundance, and he gives us with generosity. He doesn't want to hold back. He would never hold back. He's not like you and me. He has to give with abundance. He can give all of us here in this room, and all of us through this church, and all of us in this world abundantly and still have more. He doesn't need to be selective. He doesn't need to be prejudicial. He gives us all. So what's the purpose of my calling? Why am I called? I'm called because in serving, my relationship changes. My relationship with God changes. Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I don't want what I'm doing to be a mystery. I don't want you to just follow blindly. I'm changing my relationship with you. I don't want you to walk behind me. I want you to come and walk with me. And I want you to serve with me. And I want you to come closer. I want you to give as I have given. I want you to love as I have loved. I want you to forgive as I have forgiven. Our Lord says very, very clearly that there is no servant greater than his master or disciple greater than his teacher. So he wants to give us whatever he has. But we need to understand that we need to learn from him and to learn gradually. To have fellowship with him. In the Gospel of St. John, chapter 17, it's very clear. Our Lord, in praying for his disciples, prays that they be with him like he is with the Father. That's the nature of the relationship. We're never going to become God, but we become godly. We're never going to become perfect, but we can approach perfection. And that's what we're required. That's what we're asked to do. Romans 2:21. You therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? Before you go and you try to serve others, serve Jerusalem first. One of the greatest verses in Scripture is Acts 1:8. Because first of all, it has a declaration that you will receive power from on high. You're not doing this on your own. You're going to receive power from on high. Through the Holy Spirit. So it's from God himself. And when you do, then it gives you a blueprint, a plan as to what to do with it. Serve Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the ends of the earth. Why? Because if I don't serve myself first, then how can I possibly try to serve everybody else? And you know what? You might think there, that's actually right. But if we think how many times we do that, it's disturbing. How many times do we try to impart wisdom, you know, pearls of wisdom and righteousness on others, but we don't live it ourselves? And that's something we all can be falling into. We've got to be careful. I know I need to be careful of that. I can't stand here and tell you something I'm not living. Because there's a really bad word that starts with an H that applies to that, you know, hypocrisy. And even if it's not hypocrisy, it's being misguided, being unwise. Having passion and fervor, but actually, if I don't do it first, how can I expect you to do it? You look at me and say, physician, heal thyself. Do it. You do it. When you do it, I'll do it. You can never put yourself in that position when you're serving. Don't ever do that. Don't ever put yourself in a position where you're teaching others something of life, then they say to you, hang on, but you're not doing that. Now, I've just given you an absolute way out, right? Because you'll turn around and say, hang on, I'm not perfect. So if I am going to follow what you're saying and I'm never going to say anything I can't do, then I should never serve. No, that's not the response. The response is, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. You're never going to become fully perfect, but try to approach perfection. Try to do the best you can. So the answer in The answer to, sorry, don't do something you can't do, is not to pull out, but to try to do it. You may not always get it right. You may very rarely get it right. But try. Live righteousness. Follow that calling. And know that calling is for your salvation first and foremost. And then for the salvation of those around you. It's a great lesson in how to live. So, one of the biggest pitfalls you will fall into, and I hope you guys are very different to most other servants I've met, myself included, is when you're preparing Sunday school classes. I'm not sure how many people are still preparing in the car park on a Sunday morning. I'm sure it doesn't happen here. But I was always taught to prepare very specifically. I was taught that as soon as I finish Sunday school today, tomorrow being Monday, I start preparing the class I'm going to give next Sunday. Right? Even generically, because then what I do is I live that message for the whole week. So when I go, I'm not just giving facts, I'm giving life. And I've been able to live it myself. That's a very, very practical way of trying to live whatever you're preaching. Give yourself those few days to live it, to focus on it, to write down your reflections, and then by the time you come to give that lesson on Sunday, you don't only know it, but you've lived it. And you give it in a very, very different way. Of course, that comes at a price. And that's why in the Epistle to the Romans, we're told very, very clearly, you'll know this one, Romans 12:3, we are told not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So service, that calling, needs transformation. That's why I read to you first that our Lord even changes Peter's name. Saul is changed to Paul. We've got so many examples where people have actually been changed. There needs to be a renewing of our minds. I can't have a mind of the secular world. I must have a mind that goes towards the kingdom. A mind that looks above and beyond this world. We live in this world. And in the words of our Lord again, John 17, we are in this world, but most certainly should not be of this world. We are by nature in this world. And one thing I believe sincerely is God wants us to enjoy this world. We're not put here to suffer. God wants us to enjoy it, to live it, to rejoice in it. But in as far as it is not contradictory to being in his kingdom. We need to do one without leaving the other, in the words of our Lord, undone. Of course, enjoy the world, but enjoy it as a part of the journey to the kingdom. So, I came to you here today from London. I could have thought, okay, I'm going to get on a plane, and I really would like to fly over Asia. So, I'm going to fly over Asia. I'm just going to enjoy the flight. But hang on, that doesn't go to where you're supposed to be going. It's okay, but it's still a plane ride, isn't it? Yeah, but it's in the other direction. And you see? The journey needs to get us to a destination. Take a journey that is consistent with your destination. Don't go the other way. Otherwise, you're never going to get to where you want to be. And that is the kingdom. That's what we're here for. That's what we're inspiring others to do. Saint Athanasius says, he who has been counted worthy of the heavenly calling, and by this calling has been sanctified, if he grows negligent in it, he becomes defiled. So what he's saying is, so we've been called, and we're blessed to be called. But if we become negligent in that calling, we become defiled even in it. So the path is right. I start on the path and I'm going towards the kingdom, but then I start to veer off. Start to go in a different direction. You know what? The direction doesn't have to be substantially different. It's only a fraction. And a fraction, day after day after day after day, becomes a mile. And that's why we need to hold ourselves to account. We need to learn. We need to think. We need to sit with ourselves and think on a daily basis. What have I done today? What have I done good? Because we need to give thanks to God for the things we do good. But then what have I done that can change? And if I pick it up on a daily basis, I'm not going to veer off that mile. So what the calling we have needs to allow us to grow, not towards defilement, but towards greater glorification. And of course, all of this must be built on a core, on a foundation of love. Don't ever resent what you're doing. I remember one of the sweetest things anyone's ever said to me is I was traveling to a youth convention, and I was here in North America. I was in Canada. And before I got up to speak, the father, the priest there, it's a very, very kind, saintly man, got up and he said, you know what? The one thing I want you to see is that Ambangelos loves what he does. I thought, wow, that's actually pretty good. I do. I do love what I do. And I love the people I serve. And that's why I do what I do. If you don't love the people you serve, you're not going to love what you do. And if you don't love what you do, you're never going to do it well. This isn't just about you blurting out some information and then going home. This is an act of love. You are called to act, to do an act of love. You need to love God so much that you can't stop yourself from telling people whom you love about that love for God. You see what I mean? Lots of love in that sentence. But you know what I mean, right? So you need to love him so much and love the others so much that you need to share that with them. And that's why it becomes passionate. That's why it becomes so moving. You know, sometimes you have servants who may not have to say very much. I'm sitting here talking. Right? Other people can walk into this room and they'll be like St. Anthony. So St. Anthony was sitting with some of his disciples, the great St. Anthony. And they're all asking questions, and one of them didn't ask questions. So he asked him, he said, I've noticed you haven't asked any questions. Why is that? And the response of his disciple was, it was sufficient for me to look upon your face, my father. Sometimes just by having that saintly countenance, that love, it'll be enough to touch people's lives. And I think we've all probably met people like that. And we aspire to be people like that. Aspire to be those who transfer God's love even without speaking. And you all know the quotation, well-known quotation of Francis of Assisi. When he was speaking to his disciples, and he said to them, preach the gospel, and if you need to, speak. Right? So preaching the gospel is not really speaking. Speaking is just what you have to do when your life isn't amplified enough. Because sometimes you see some people who just live the gospel. And that's what, as servants, we are called to do. So, I want to finish with a quote from St. Maximus the Confessor, who says, many have said much about love, but you will find love itself only if you seek it among the disciples of Christ. So there's lots of love in the world. You'll hear about it, but you'll only find it if you seek it amongst the disciples of Christ. He's not speaking about the 12 disciples, but us. So if you come and go to the disciples of Christ, that's what you'll find real love. For only they have true love as their teacher has loved. We've seen it in him. For he loved the world so much that not only did he come and take flesh, but he ascended to the cross and rid us of all the restraints that were against us. So that is what we're called to do. We're called to be Christ-like. We're called to love. We're called to be light. Above all, we are called to live this life, to approach the kingdom, and take as many people with us as possible. Glory be to God forever.